Well, in the 11th service, we are beginning a new series all about the Holy Spirit. I'm excited for this, and I'm also a little challenged by this, because I'm aware that we don't always talk as much about the Holy Spirit as we do the other members of the Trinity. We believe as Christians in this kind of mysterious belief that God is three in one, that God is one God, and yet there are three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three and yet one, one and yet three. And often we talk about the other two members of the Trinity more than we do the Spirit. So we'll talk about God the Father, the Lord's Prayer, Father. We'll talk about Jesus. But we don't always talk about the Holy Spirit. And I'll admit that even as a pastor, I don't always talk about the Spirit as much as I do the Father or the Son. And I have a theory about that. I've been thinking, and I think the reason why we don't talk a lot about the Spirit is because the Spirit's kind of hard to talk about. The Spirit is the least concrete member of the Trinity. So we associate God the Father as the creator of the world. I mean, we can at least see and touch the world, right? That's kind of concrete. We think about Jesus who came to earth as a person. You can see and touch. That's concrete. That makes sense. The Spirit? What is the Spirit? I mean, the Spirit is this mysterious, invisible, intangible presence of God in the world. It's kind of hard to wrap your mind around. When Jesus spoke about the Spirit, he described the Spirit like the wind. In John 3, verses 6 and 8, Jesus says, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So Jesus uses wind to try to talk about the Spirit. The word in the Greek language for spirit is the Greek word pneuma. The word that's used in the Old Testament, the Hebrew, is ruach, and they both mean breath or wind. The Spirit in many ways is like the wind. You can't always see it. You can't necessarily grab a hold of it, but you can sense its presence. You can feel its movement. You can see its impact. And the Spirit is a lot like that. You can't always see the Spirit or grab a hold of it, but you can sense its presence. Maybe you felt it in worship, where all of a sudden you're like, you feel it in your heart and you're like, what's going on inside of you? You can sense its presence. You can feel its movement. You can see its impact. And that's what we want to get in touch with over the next few weeks, with the Spirit. And this year, we're going to do things a little bit different. Once a year, we talk about the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. So we wanted to give the Spirit a little bit more airtime this year. And so in the weeks that are leading up to Pentecost, we're going to do this series on the Spirit, and it'll culminate in Pentecost. And I hope that when we get to Pentecost, we're just going to be so fired up and excited about the Spirit, we won't know what to do with ourselves. But in the weeks that are following, we're going to talk about themes like led by the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. And to kick things off today, we're going to talk about the promise of the Spirit. Because the only reason we're talking about the Holy Spirit is because Jesus made an incredible promise. In John chapter 14, if you have your Bibles or if you're following along, Jesus makes a promise. John 14, starting at verses 16 through 17. To give you some background, Jesus is nearing the end of his time on earth. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to go back to heaven. And he's telling this to his disciples, and the disciples are starting to get a little worried. Like, what are we going to do when you leave? And to comfort them, he gives them an incredible promise. This is from John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17. Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Such a big promise. So Jesus was limited by a physical body. He could only be in one place at one time. But God had an even bigger plan to be at all places, at all times, with all people. And that was going to happen through the Holy Spirit, who not only would be with you, but be in you. The Holy Spirit in you. And to get a sense of how incredible this promise is, I think it helps to back up and take a look throughout the Bible of who this mysterious Holy Spirit is and how the Spirit has been moving from the very beginning of creation. If you want, I can send you some of these scripture references because I'm going to fly through, but I wanted to paint a picture of the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture. When, in Hebrews 9:14, we learn that the Spirit is eternal. The Spirit has always been present with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1:2, we find that the Spirit was present and active in the creation of the world. It wasn't just the Father. Actually, the Son and the Spirit were both involved in the creation of the world. The Spirit has been present and active with people of faith from the very beginning. For example, the Spirit gave wisdom to Bezalel as he built the first tabernacle, the first space of worship for God's people. The Spirit was present with Balaam, causing him to bless Israel rather than curse Israel. God was present in the Holy Spirit with Samson, giving him strength to defend Israel against their enemies. The Spirit was present when David was anointed, giving him all that he needed to be the king of Israel. With each of these cases, there was a difference. The Spirit came and was with people for a time period, but was never in people, because there was a barrier between God and people caused by our sin. And if you read through the stories in the Old Testament, you see the Spirit came on people in powerful ways, but it was for a season. And when they sinned and turned away from God, the Spirit left. That's why David would pray something like, "Cast not your spirit from me." The Spirit was present in Jesus' birth. When Mary asks, "How in the world can I become pregnant? I'm a virgin." The angel tells her, "The Spirit will come upon you and you will give birth to a child." The Spirit was present in Jesus' ministry, giving him power to preach, to cast out demons, to heal. The Spirit was present in Jesus' resurrection. God said, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was raised to new life. And the Spirit was present in the early church, igniting a movement that started with 12 and rippled through the whole world. That's the Spirit that Jesus said, "I promised not just to give you to be with you, but to be in you." In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." You guys aren't as excited as I think you should be. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that formed the earth and gave life to everything in it, the same Spirit that inspired our ancestors in faith to live boldly for God, the same Spirit that brought about the incarnation and the resurrection, that's the Spirit Jesus promises will be with you and live in you. Okay, thank you. There's somebody who's awake this way. Do you get this, how incredible this promise is? The Spirit will live in you. And the New Testament reveals more about this promised Spirit. And there's so much that we could say about the Spirit. I want to share at least four things with you that are characteristics of this promised Spirit. Number one, it's a Spirit of help. In John 14:16 that we read, Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you. That word counselor is a translation of the Greek word parakletos. And it's translated in different translations in different ways. Some have it as advocate, others comforter, others helper. What it literally means, it's a word picture. It means to come alongside, to come to someone's aid. I wanted to share with you a picture, since the word is a word picture. I wanted to show you one of the coolest pictures, I think, of what it looks like to have someone come alongside you and help. It's from the 1992 Olympics. There was a runner, Derek Redmond, and maybe you remember that story, but he ran, and midway through, he had an injury, and his dad comes alongside him. Take a look. Isn't that a neat picture? This was the kind of picture that they were trying to paint with the word parakletos. That the Holy Spirit is one who will come alongside you to help you in your time of need. The Holy Spirit will come alongside you when you're limping along to be the one you can lean on, to be the one who lifts you up. The Holy Spirit will be the one that will carry you through when the journey is tough, who will defend you from others who are trying to get in your way. It's a spirit of help. Can anybody here use a little bit of divine help? It's the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. Again, from John 14. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. I don't know if you ever had a tutor when you were going through school and facing some difficult subjects. The Holy Spirit is God's divine one-on-one tutor. The Holy Spirit comes to teach us everything that we need to know about life and about following God. He teaches us about life, relationships, God, marriage, parenting, purpose. He reminds us of what Jesus has said to us. He helps us understand and apply Scripture. As a pastor, I've experienced that a lot. Sometimes we talk about messages that are just hard. Sometimes I need the message, like my learning is just as significant as yours when I go through a message because there's topics that I need to hear and I don't always understand and have to wrestle with it. And I remember one sermon in particular, we're talking about strengths and weaknesses and how Paul said, you know, the weakness is where it's at because that's where you experience God's strength. And I just had a hard time with that. I'm like, I don't like weakness. I don't want weakness. You know, help me understand this. And I felt like the Spirit gave me a phrase. He said, in your strengths, you see what you can do. In your weakness, you see what only God can do. And that was so powerful as I faced lots of weaknesses in my life. And that stayed with me, that message from the Spirit to teach me that in those weaknesses, those are the moments where you really get to see what only God can do in your life. The Spirit helps us understand Scripture. The Spirit counsels us on decisions that we make. The Spirit convicts us when we're going off path in wrong directions. Unfortunately, I know that conviction feeling all too well. That's often how I sense the Spirit. I get this like red flag, this alarm that goes off inside my soul when I'm going on a path that I shouldn't be. The Spirit is a Spirit of truth. Could any of you use some divine truth in your life? It's the Holy Spirit. Third, the Spirit is a Spirit of love. In Romans 15:30, Paul writes, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Spirit of love. The love doctor is in the house with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit helps bring God's love to us and through us. In this passage, Paul was going through a struggle. I don't know about you, but when I go through struggle, sometimes it feels like God's nowhere, that God doesn't care, that God doesn't love me. And so where does Paul turn? He calls on the Holy Spirit to bring God's love into his heart. Maybe you're in a spot like that right now where you're struggling and it feels like God's so far away that God doesn't care, that God doesn't love you. Maybe what you need in this moment is the Holy Spirit to come and flood your heart with God's love. And as he floods our heart with love, he helps us to love others who may be difficult to love. Paul experienced it on one hand when he became a Christian. Remember, he was a persecutor of the church. It took a big leap of love for those early Christians to believe Paul and let him into their community. And many years later, Paul would need to take a similar leap of love to love people who were persecuting him and trying to take his life for sharing the faith. Could any of you use some divine love in your life? It's the Holy Spirit. And then number four, the Holy Spirit is a Spirit of power. Acts 1:8, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Spirit gives us power to be witnesses for Jesus. I would guess for many people, being a witness for Jesus is probably one of the scariest parts of following Jesus. Like, yikes, I got to go out and actually tell people about Jesus, and what are people going to think? But Jesus doesn't say to go do that by your own strength, by your own effort. He says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit who will call you into mission, who will empower you to speak, who will help you live boldly as a witness for Jesus Christ. That Spirit is available to you to help you be a witness. I've been reading missionary stories with my son as part of his homeschooling curriculum. Man, we've had so much fun hearing about how the Holy Spirit empowers just ordinary, everyday people to be bold witnesses for Jesus. One of my favorites is a woman named Gladys Aylward. She went as a missionary to China in a culture that did not respect women at all. And she just boldly shared with people about Jesus and invited people to trust in God. Well, one day, the leader in that area, they were having a riot in the prison. And they turned to Gladys and they said, you say you can trust God. Will you help us with this prison riot? And they wanted this tiny little woman to walk into a prison where the prisoners were rioting and stop it. And she was like, you gotta be crazy. But she knew in her heart, she's been talking boldly about trusting Jesus. And if she doesn't go in there, they're gonna say, ah, fooey with your Jesus stuff. So she did. She went into the prison and she describes just the sheer chaos. There's blood, there's people lying everywhere, there's guys fighting with weapons, and it's just horrible. And so she prays, Spirit, give me power. And she yells, stop! And all of a sudden, woof, there is silence in this prison. Nobody speaks. Nobody moves. And she says, you need to stop. And she walks over to the prisoners and starts asking them, what is going on? And she finds out that they've been treated horribly. I mean, maybe they did wrong things to be in a prison, but they were being treated like animals. They didn't have any space to live. They didn't have any time to exercise and move their body, and it was making them crazy. And she said, if you promise to stop this riot, I promise to help bring reform to the prison. And they made an agreement, and the riot ended that day. And Gladys began to help on a process of reformation in the prison that changed the whole prison system, and it changed that country's view of the power of God's Holy Spirit. Spirit of power. One other verse on power in Romans 8:2, Paul writes, for the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. The Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome sin and death. Whereas witnessing is probably the scariest thing about following Jesus, spiritual change and transformation is probably the hardest thing. But the Holy Spirit gives us power to break the bondage of sin, the chains of addiction, to break hurtful habits in our life, and live in a new way, a way that models Jesus' righteousness and holiness and purity for the world. Spirit gives us power to be his witnesses, but also to be free from sin, to change, to become new people in Jesus Christ. Could any of you use some divine power in your life? It's the Holy Spirit. Spirit of truth, Spirit of help, Spirit of love, Spirit of power. Next week, Don's going to talk about being led by the Spirit. But our first step in this first week is simply to be open to the Spirit. I don't know if you saw it on Good Morning America, they invited Chris Evans, who is Captain America on all of the Marvel movies, and they invited him to come in, and they gave him a gift basket, but it was all things from New York. And one of the gifts was a jersey from New York. Now, Chris Evans is a Boston guy, and he was not having a jersey from New York, and so he gave it back. He gave back their gift. He said no. Jesus offers us an incredible gift through the Holy Spirit. Are we open to receiving that gift? In the scriptures, it tells us this promise of the Holy Spirit, it's open to everyone who turns to Jesus in faith. In Acts 2, 38 to 39, Peter replies to a crowd who's gathered, and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The promise, it's for everyone who turns to Jesus in faith. And the promise is for everyone who asks. Just asks. In Luke 11:13, it says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? This gift is for everyone who will turn to Jesus in faith, who will ask. Are you open to that gift? Scott McKnight wrote a book on the Holy Spirit called Open to the Spirit. And as he was studying and researching and writing, he wrote a prayer to be open to the Spirit. You see it up on the screen. He says, Lord, I'm open to the Spirit. Come to me, dwell in me, speak to me so that I may become more like Christ. Lord, give me the courage to be open. Lord, I am open to the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you open to the Spirit? I thought I was open. I've been a Christian all my life. I've been a pastor for going on 10 years now. But a couple of years ago, I started to wonder. I was like, you know, I hear about the Holy Spirit, this powerful Holy Spirit, but I don't know. I don't always sense the Spirit in my life. I don't always see the Spirit working. And so I came across that passage from Luke 11, whoever asks. And so I just started asking. For the whole year, that was my prayer. I said, God, I ask for your Holy Spirit. And God answered that prayer in a special way for me. I was at a pastor's conference, and they were talking about the Spirit and being filled by the Spirit. And while they were talking, one of the speakers said, you know, it's hard to be filled with the Spirit when you're filled with a spirit of fear. And that, like, hit me over the head like a 2x4. I realized I had so much fear in my life. Fear of what people would think, fear of failure, fear of the future, fear of health challenges. I was so full of fear. And I realized, how can I be filled with the Spirit when I'm so filled with fear? And I wanted to pray right there, like, God, cast out the spirit of fear and fill me with your Spirit. But I thought it'd be kind of weird to do that right in front of everybody else. So after that session was over, the only space I had was my car. So I went to the car, and I just started praying, and I was weeping. I was like, God, I'm so filled with fear. Cast out this spirit of fear and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And it really felt like a spiritual battle in that moment. I could feel fear rising as if it was like, no, I have you. I'm not letting go. And then I could feel like a wave of the Holy Spirit bringing comfort and peace. And then the fear would rise again, and it went back and forth, and I just prayed and prayed until finally, like, I was just spent and exhausted. But I was overwhelmed by a sense of peace and freedom that I don't think I'd ever felt before that. In John, when Jesus is talking about the promise of the Spirit, he mentions the sense of peace that comes along with the Spirit. In John 14, 26 to 27, it says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Are you open to the Spirit? Are you filled with a spirit of fear, spirit of pride, spirit of doubt that maybe you need to cast out with God's help so that the Holy Spirit can fill you? And I'm no expert on the Spirit. I haven't had moments like that since then. But because I know that the Spirit is real and that God promises it to me, I begin every day by simply turning to Jesus in faith and asking for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of help, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of power to fill my life. I'm going to give you a moment to reflect. And here are some questions I want you to think about. What aspect of the Spirit do you especially need in this season of your life? Is it help? Is it truth? Is it love? Is it power? Second, what might be filling your life besides the Spirit? Is it fear, pride, greed, sin? And then third, how can you be open to the Spirit? How can you turn and ask? I'm going to give you some time to pray and reflect, let the Spirit work in your heart, and then I'll close us in prayer.